Alrighty, well, welcome to another Zion's Trumpet, another Sunday night. I'd like to say just a little short something to the new people in the room, okay? Let me just give you a little heads up on what this room is about. This room's a little different than the Pow Talk rooms that you're normally used to visiting. Because the goal here, we have a small group, usually no more 14, 15 people. And we're trying to, the goal of the Christian faith is to go into perfection, to come to spiritual maturity, to come forth in the image of Christ. And the goal is to only do those things that Jesus is telling us to do, only say those things that Jesus is telling us to say, to be led by the Spirit. Okay? That's the goal of the people who come to this room. I share things along those lines that help them grow. And also, I sound a warning. My little ministry is called Zion's Trumpet. And that's to sound a warning in Zion. There's lots of people sounding a warning in Jerusalem, which is the majority of the church. There's lots of people in the secular world sounding a warning among the unsaved about the Big Brother, the New World Order, and all that stuff. There's very few people sounding alarm in Zion, which is God's elect, because most of the people don't think God's elect can fall. They don't think God's elect are in any real danger. And so God put it on my heart to sound a warning to Zion, God's elect, that we're in danger, that we're no different than the rest of the Christians. And so that's a combination of my ministry there, is to warn Zion of what's coming, of what's going on right now in the spirit realm, the danger we face, and also to share things that help bring people forth in Christ, to help them walk in the Spirit. So most of the people in this room, the regulars that come here, they're pretty mature spiritually, and they're trying to be led by the Spirit when they talk. Okay, they're trying to be led by the Spirit in the things they share, and the things they say, the questions they ask. I don't mind people asking me questions. I don't even mind people challenging me. If you don't agree with something I say, that's fine. As long as it's done right, Spirit. I can defend my own doctrine. There's no problem with that. But the point here is we're trying to come forth in Christ. We're trying to edify one another in the Spirit. And there's a lot of things a lot of people could say. I could get on this mic and talk about all kinds of things. I got a lot of knowledge in my head, okay? I got a lot of experience in my belt. And I could just ramble on for hours and hours and hours about a lot of things. I'm just trying to be led by the Spirit and say only what the Spirit of God once said. And I think most of the people in this room are sort of trying to come forth in that same attitude, that same spirit, that we're just trying to be led by the Spirit, only hear what the Spirit's saying, only say what the Spirit's saying. So there's a lot of questions, a lot of issues we could bring up, we could discuss, we could talk about. But when we come together, one of the things about the New Testament church is when you come together in a proper kind of gathering, there's usually a burden of the Spirit. We're not supposed to just come together and everybody get in a room. I'm talking about not pal talk, just like if we come together with a regular fellowship. We're not supposed to just come together and sit around, drink coffee and eat cakes and just talk about whatever, life, the rain, sports, you know. The reason people are supposed to congregate and come together is to edify one another, to be led by the Spirit. And it's real easy just to come together and start talking about anything that comes to your mind. And some people are not used to walking in the Spirit. They're walking in the flesh, or they're listening to other spirits, and they're talking things other spirits are putting in their minds, or their flesh are putting in their minds. So this room's a little bit different in that sense. Both the person who has it, which is me, and most of the people who come in this fellowship are pressing towards the fullness of Christ, and they're in that kind of mindset where they're only trying to say things and do things or be led by the Spirit, okay? I'm just trying to give the newer people a little heads up on why this room's a little bit different. You know, we don't just come in here and just talk about anything you want to. It's a fellowship room, but we want our fellowship to be in Christ, not in flesh, and especially not religious flesh, because Pow Talk is filled with religious flesh and religious demons. Most of those rooms are nothing but religious demons and religious flesh going on. I'm not saying there's nobody out there that's any good. I'm sure there's a couple out there. I don't know of them all because I haven't visited them all. So I'm not trying to put a blanket statement on everybody. I'm sure there's exceptions to everything. But probably 90% of the rooms in Pow Talk is nothing but religious flesh, arguing, debating, and religious demons on top of that. So this is not about that. We're trying to come forth in Christ. We're trying to, what I call the high calling, come forth in the high calling of Christ Jesus, which is perfection, sinless perfection in this life. The Bible says we can reach sinless perfection in this life. That's God's goal for us. Okay, so that's what this room is about for the new people. So if you threw up a strange question or a question wasn't related to what we're doing or anything like that, and nobody answers it, that's probably why. They're trying to be led by the Spirit. They're trying to, you know, just do what the Lord's telling them to do. Is that understandable to everybody? Is that okay with everybody? Okay. So now every time we open the room, I do open it up right away for people to share, because I want people to be free to share, but as the Holy Spirit leads. Okay, that's all. I just don't want a bunch of flesh in here or the Spirit's moving. But if anybody has something they feel is from the Lord, they're perfectly free to share before I speak, after I speak, whenever. I want this to be sort of a fellowship room, but we all got to be careful that our fellowship is in the Spirit. That's all. You just got to keep it in the Spirit. It's real easy to start talking religion, you know, and let your flesh get out of control, let our spirits, another spirit start moving in here. And I don't want to use the red dots. I've always had a thing about the red dots. I don't want to use the red dots, and I don't intend to start now. So if anybody gets out of line, I'll just boot them out, because I'm not going to use the red dots. If I have to use the red dots, then I'm talking to a bunch of baby Christians. I'm not interested in talking and fellowship with baby Christians. I'm interested in the people who are serious about God, who are serious about going to perfection, who are serious about obeying the Lord and coming into the fullness of what God has for us. You know, so if I can't do that, I'd rather just shut the room down. That's why I put up there, I'm not interested in quantity. I'm interested in quantity. So I don't care if only 10 people come in my room every Sunday night. I'd rather have 10 than 30. Because the more people you get, the more of a mixed multitude you get, the more spirits start moving, the more flesh is moving, the more heart is controlled. And I told this one sister, we were talking actually earlier today, she called me and I said, you know, Jesus, Kermit says, what if the question, what if it was a question that the Spirit has been pressing on? Okay, that's fine. If you feel the Spirit's been pressing on it, that's fine. You can ask it. If I feel it's not the Spirit, I'll tell you. And I'll ask the rest of the people in the room to also bear witness to whether it is the Spirit or not. See, it's not a one-man show here. Everybody in this room has the Spirit of God, and everybody here can hear the Spirit of God. And I'm not the only one that's going to be guarding this room, right? That's no problem. But I was telling this sister in a conversation that Jesus did his ministry for 3.5 years in Israel, created great miracles, did all his whole ministry, and he only picked 12 people to deposit his revelation, his truth, and his life into them. And those 12 people were responsible to establish and build the New Testament church. So he wasn't interested in numbers. He was interested in quality, not quantity. And he spent all his time with 12 people, one of whom turned out to be a devil, which he knew anyway. So he really begs he spends all his time, the focus of his time, teaching, training up 11 people to do the work of the whole church, to raise up the whole New Testament church, to bring the scriptures into being, to raise up fellowships and all that. So he wasn't interested in numbers. He was interested in quality. He was interested in the people who were hearing him, getting what he was saying, not just in the brain, but then be able to walk in it, get that into reality in their lives so they're walking it, not just, it's very easy. Very easy to hear things with the brain, accept truth with the mind, and have it be part of our mind and our speak and our vocabulary and our view, but not be walking in it. And the higher the revelation and the more deeper the truth we are exposed to, the more danger we are in, because it's very easy to think we're walking in something just because we heard it and understand it. And I've run into many people who can talk about end time truth, to talk about tabernacles, the difference between Pentecost and tabernacles, and all kinds of stuff. They can talk at all, but they are not walking in it. So it's very important that we let God work His word in us, so we're actually walking in what we know. It's very easy to think you're walking in something that you're not, just because you know it. That's Gnosticism. That's really the root of Gnosticism. I just want to get that out in front here, because we got a lot of new people in here, and I didn't want to have anybody get offended or get, you know, sidetracked or anything like that. We want to keep it open as much as possible, but we all want to be led by the Spirit, okay? So, what do we do first here? Anybody want to hear another song? I don't like to just do it on automatically, because I never know when people are getting tired of them. Thank you, Rebecca. Okay, hang on a second. I got a couple of them here. You all know I'm only singing these songs because it's the songs themselves that have the anointing and the good words and they're in the flow of what God's doing. So, this is called By the Power of Thy Life. If anybody's playing the guitar with me, I know one of you has the guitar, I'm not sure, I can't remember who it was, but anybody playing guitar, it's on the key of A, I guess. By the power of thy life, break the power of my death. Father God, I lift my cry up unto thee. Still, as thy glory and thy will flows through my heart and mind and sets me free. Give ear, O ye heavens, and give ear, O ye earth. Listen, ye gates of hell and all beneath. O death, I am thy plague, and O grave, thy destruction. O death and grave, I am thy victory. So whether there be mountains or valleys in between,
whether there be perils or the sword. I know Redeemer lives, and in my flesh I'll see God, the light and Lamb of God forevermore. By the power of thy life, break the power of thy death. Father God, I lift my cry up unto thee. Bring forth this vessel still, as thy glory and thy will flows through my heart and mind and sets me free. So give ear, O ye heavens, and give ear, O ye earth. Listen, ye gates of hell and all beneath. O death, I am thy plagues, and O grave, thy destruction. O death and grave, I am thy victory. So whether there be mountains or valleys in between, whether there be perils of the sword, I know that my Redeemer lives, and in my flesh I'll see God, the light and Lamb of God forevermore. By the power of thy life, break the power of my death. Father God, I lift my cry up unto thee. Bring forth this vessel still, as thy glory and thy will flows through my heart and sets my spirit free.
Amen. Anybody ever heard that before? No. Okay. This is another. This is a simple one. You'll be able to pick this one up real quick. It's called Make Me Like You, Lord. Now, I don't know where this came from. This might be a church song. I'm not sure because I don't know where this came from. But it's a good song anyway. So if anybody heard before, that's all right.
Make me like you, Lord. Please make me like you. For you are a servant, Lord. Make me one too. Lord, I am willing. Please do what you must do to make me whole. Make me like you. Make me like you, Lord. Please make me like you. Make me like you, Lord.
Amen. Okay, anybody ever heard that before? Now, anybody else have anything to share? Anything on your heart? Okay. Well, I'd like to say something about what I saw in Steve's room today. When he was talking about, I noticed some interesting comments are going on when he was talking about Todd Bentley. Y'all remember him talking about Todd Bentley in the room today? He talked, mentioned that video, or that was an audio video that somebody said he wasn't going to play it. He said he wasn't going to even play that clip because he didn't want to unleash any spirits that guy walks under into his own chat room. Y'all remember that? That was a good decision, wise decision, right? Obviously, Steve realizes that Christians can come under the power of evil spirits, especially if they act foolishly and don't stand under God's protection, right? And listening to Todd Bentley just for the sake of curiosity is sheer foolishness. And somebody made a comment when he was going through all that. I mean, typed in, you know, making a comment that something to the effect that if we open ourselves up to demons, you know, they come in and we end up possessed. And then somebody else said they didn't believe that demons could possess, you know, a person because the Holy Spirit's in there. And somebody else said they agreed and whatever. It was a little conversation going on there. And so I just feel like I want to go over this again because there's lots of confusion in the church and out of the church about whether a Christian could be demon-possessed or whether a Christian can have a demon. And I think a lot of the argument, because it really doesn't matter what term we use. Now, there is a difference. Technically, I'm going to do a teaching sometime about the different levels of demon possession. And technically, there are different levels. You know, there's oppression, there's vexation, and there is eventually total demon possession. So there are different levels, and there are things to discuss in that area. But really, when it comes right down to it, I don't think it really matters what term we use. If the person ends up under the influence of a demon spirit, is drawn away from the faith as a result, and then ends up in like a fire, it really doesn't really matter to that guy whether you talk about being possessed or oppressed or vexed or tormented. I mean, if a demon spirit can draw us away from the faith, regardless of what the title is, regardless of whether it's on the inside or the outside, they're dangerous, right? I think that the whole argument, and this is going on in the church for years, especially when the deliverance ministry came out. I don't know if everybody was aware about the deliverance ministry was raised up in the late 60s. It came after the word of death to self got out. You know, the word of death to self was not a word that was preached a lot in the church until a certain point. Certain pastors or certain congregations were preaching it. But as far as a body-wide message going out to the whole body, death to self wasn't really preached that much until a certain point in our day, which was in the late 40s and early 50s. And the whole idea of going to perfection really went body-wide at that time. I mean, up until that point, there were certain little groups, certain people, individuals, understood what the Bible said about going on perfection, understood the deep things of God, understood that it's God's will that we come into his fullness. And so I believe probably many people have walked in the fullness of Christ, individuals, but it wasn't a body-wide thing. It wasn't a message that went out, a call went out to the whole body until a certain point, spiritual maturity, come forth in the image of Christ to where there's no guile. We're walking in no guile, okay? And in order to do that, certain things had to come forth. In order for God's people to walk in that kind of perfection, walk in that kind of life, certain things had to happen. First of all, they had to learn how to not live in the flesh. They had to learn, they had to understand the death to self message, or what it's capable of bringing us into. Okay. And the second thing that had to happen was the understanding that in order to be pure and come into that place of perfection, there are certain things we're going to deal with in our life that are based in, founded upon, rooted in the work of demon spirit. Okay, so right after the death to self message was established throughout the body, a deliverance ministry was raised up. A deliverance minister was raised up, and of course that went off. And now most of the people in the deliverance ministry are wackos, and they're in all the crazy warfare things, and trying to bind Satan in America and over the continents, and bring the kingdom of God. All that stuff is a joke. It's a false doctrine. It's a satanic, you know, counterfeit. But Satan's done his job with that. Because of that, nobody wants to talk about what demons can do in a Christian's life. And true spiritual warfare. There is something known as true spiritual warfare in the Bible. And all this counterfeit out here that people are looking at just turns everybody off for the real thing also. And Satan's laughing, I'm sure. He's got the people who are preaching the counterfeit deceived. And he's got the people who are not preaching the counterfeit who see it's a counterfeit. He's got them backing off, won't even talk about demons. Won't even look at the whole issue hardly. So he's got everybody, one way or the other, he's got most Christians ignoring the power he's capable of having in their lives. Whether it's one angle or another. He's got what he wants. He's got Christians ignoring him. So many of the people who have been preaching over the years, especially preachers in the Pentecostal realm, and especially fundamentalists, I should say, they say the Christian can't, quote, have a demon. They think they're on scriptural ground for that because they say that, or they assume that God can't dwell in the same vessel as a person in whom Satan dwells. And they also say that the apostles never really spoke clearly on the subject. The second thing is not true. The apostles didn't speak a lot about that subject, but they did address it. And I think one of the reasons they didn't focus on it too much was because the biggest part of Jesus' ministry was casting out evil spirits. You all recognize that, right? The biggest part of Jesus' ministry was casting out demon spirits. I mean, he did many miracles, but most of the miracles he did was healing the sick and oppressed from demon spirits. Everybody knew back then Jesus was a prophet. Everybody knew that this guy from Nazareth, they knew what he was doing. He was casting out demons. And so it's a common knowledge that was Jesus' ministry. So maybe the apostles didn't focus on that so much because they assumed we all knew that. But whatever, irregardless of that, there is still scripture that touches on this subject. So I just want to look at a couple of them quick. If you don't mind, let me close my little song thing here and get my Bible open quick. The first scripture is going to be in 2 Corinthians 11, and it'll be verse 3 and 4. Okay? But I fear, and Paul's talking to the Corinthian church here, but I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received. Okay, you see that? Or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So, obviously, Paul believed it's possible for a Christian who had received the true Holy Spirit to receive another spirit, right? Or else he wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say, I fear. You know, but I fear, lest by any means. Okay. The next one will be 2 Thessalonians, which I beat this one to death. Y'all know this one. But it bears repeating because of the time we're living in. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Now, I know that some people, and maybe some of the newer people in the room don't believe what we believe about this, but you all the regulars know, and I think you all are with me on the same page, that this is talking about a spirit, a demonic power. It's not talking about a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem and a man sitting in that temple. Paul never called the temple of Jerusalem the temple of God once the temple is destroyed. Okay, if you go through the New Testament, he always referred to the temple in Jerusalem as the temple. Not once did he ever call the temple in Jerusalem the temple of God. They called a revelation that wherever God's presence is, that is the temple of God. God's presence left the temple when he was crucified. Okay, and finally was destroyed in 70 AD later to confirm that. Okay, now God's presence is in the believer, and we are the temple of God. So this is what Paul's talking about. He's talking about another spirit sitting in the temple of God. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except through a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, if you can accept that that's a demonic power sitting in the temple of God, then it's obvious that Paul believed that. Okay, now if we're still on the thing where it's got to be a man sitting in a little temple, then there's going to be an argument over whether Paul was talking about spirits here, or the concept of a spirit being in a Christian is even there. But I believe it is, because I believe that's what he's talking about. I don't believe it would ever call a rebuilt temple or the temple that was then standing in Jerusalem the temple of God, because it was no longer the temple of God. And the temple is going to be rebuilt. Everybody's going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem now. It won't be the temple of God. It'll be the temple of Antichrist. So he wouldn't call the then temple the temple of God, and he wouldn't call the one that's going to be built by Antichrist in the last days, if it's going to be built, the temple of God either. Okay, all through the New Testament, the temple is Christians. Over and over again, every scripture is talking about the temple. It's talking about people, God's people. Okay. Now, there's another scripture in Galatians. I just want to look at one more scripture here. And my point in all this, of course, is, like I said, they did address it a little bit, but it wasn't the main thing because, I mean, that was obvious. Jesus' whole ministry was casting out demons. You shouldn't have to tell people, tell Christians that they have spirits that may need to be delivered from. I mean, it should be obvious. This is not something you should have to argue over and split hairs over. But unfortunately, we do. Galatians 5:19 is going to be. Okay, I want you to notice that what Paul says here about the flesh, because everybody's concentrating on the flesh. The flesh, the flesh, the flesh. You don't walk in the flesh. Don't walk in the flesh. Just crucify your flesh. And that's true. We need to crucify our flesh. I'm not saying it's not true. We need the death to self message is very important. But it's not a silver bullet cure-all for everything. I want you to notice what Paul says about the works of flesh here, okay? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and the next one is the one I wanted, sorry. Idolatry, witchcraft. See that? Witchcraft? hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Okay. Now, the flesh cannot do witchcraft. It's impossible. In order for the flesh to do witchcraft, there has to be a demonic power involved. You can't do witchcraft without the devil, without a demonic power. So we got Paul saying that he's afraid Christians who have received the Holy Spirit can receive another spirit afterwards. We got him telling us at the temple, there's going to be another spirit sitting in the temple of God in the last days, or some of the temple of God, people at the temple of God. You got him saying that the part of the flesh is witchcraft, which involves demons. Now, we all have flesh, okay? He's not talking about the unsaved flesh. He's saying the flesh of Christians, the flesh of unsaved, this is the flesh. This is the works of the flesh. And one of the works of the flesh is witchcraft, which involves demons. So we all have a flesh nature. That means whenever we are walking in the flesh, we're giving demons an opportunity to move. Not that every time we get in the flesh, that demons do move. Not every time we get in the flesh, we're possessed or anything like that. What I'm saying is every time we're walking in the flesh, because witchcraft is part of the flesh thing, it gives the demons room to move. They can possibly move in an area in our lives when we walk in the flesh. They just go together. The flesh opens the doors to demon spirits lots of times. And it doesn't matter whether you're Christian or not, it happens. Now, this whole thing about the idea that light can't dwell in darkness, that God can't dwell in the same vessel as the devil, you know, the Holy Spirit can't dwell in the same vessel as an evil spirit, this all comes about because people don't understand that we're a tripart being. Humans are. We're made up of spirit, soul, and body. And the church, for all these years, until just the 70s, the church has never even distinguished between the soul and spirit. They just lumped them all together. Soul and spirit are the same thing. But that's not what the scripture says. A couple places, Paul said, I pray your whole body, soul, and spirit be blameless to the coming Lord. And he talks about body, soul, and spirit a couple different places in the New Testament. Now, so when we're born again, what happens is the Spirit of God comes into our dead human spirit. We have a human spirit. It's dead in the sense that it doesn't function. It can't do what it was purposed to do when God made Adam. It's there, but doesn't function. It's corrupted. It's dead. When we get born again, God's Spirit comes into our human spirit, regenerates that spirit in an instant, makes it pure. And we're made one with God in the Spirit. And that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6. Let me show you this quick, since we're right there near Corinthians.